Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. It's not Monday, which means it's happier just like that. Thanks so much for tuning in early in what is a very busy week in sports, and we are now hours away from a back-to-back doubleheader in the NHL Game 7s, and we got a bonus Game 7 that's been added to the schedule on Wednesday, and that will then be the end of the first round in the Stanley Cup postseason. In the NBA, not quite done with the first round, though we did have some history on Monday and one team fighting back and deciding, you're not going to sweep us in our own house. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And to the delight of some, the chagrin of others, even though I'm risking the wrath of social media, I've been called a freaking creep. Actually, not just me. Chris and Kevin have been called that too. But for even daring to ask the question, but we're doing it anyway. Our Twizzler Tuesday question, if the Bob Kraft video in the massage parlor becomes public, will you watch it? I don't need you to describe to me what happened in the video because law enforcement already did that. So thank you for keeping your language appropriate. I am pleasantly surprised that I would say, I don't think it's a two-thirds majority anymore. I think it's just barely over half. But it definitely is the majority who are saying no. No, they wouldn't watch the video. For the one or two of you who say who cares, check out our social media. You'll find out who cares to respond, who has a strong opinion about it. And that's why I like the question, because there are a lot of strong opinions out there and a wide variety of answers. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. But we're going to start with playoffs in both hoops and hockey. It was history for the Milwaukee Bucks. Not a history that stretches on and on for the guys who are on the roster now, but they certainly are aware of it. Having a chance to move into the second round of the NBA playoffs for the first time in nearly two decades, it was Giannis to the rescue.
Get it into Giannis. Zone look by the Pistons. Giannis blows it down the lane and dunks on Thonmaker. Oh, my goodness. You're not a teammate anymore, Thonmaker. What a slam by Giannis, and the Bucks lead by three. Now Griffin, top of the key, back to Jackson, eight to shoot. Reggie Jackson rocks back on Giannis. Jackson driving to the rim, sent out of there. Giannis got a piece of it, picked up by Bledsoe. He drives hard to the rim, lay it up, good on Blake Griffin. And the Bucks have regained a 15-point lead. 38 points, 9 rebounds for Giannis. Giannis down the center of the floor, to the rim, scores and one. What big steps you take, young man. Wow.
Ted Davis on the Bucks Radio Network. A fantastic show from Giannis. First time my mother has ever watched the Milwaukee Bucks play, at least this current era of the Milwaukee Bucks. She asked me who would be the Celtics' next round opponent. And I said, well, likely the Bucks. Boston's going to have to play better and score a little more easily if they're going to match the Bucks. And she said, okay, I want to see this Milwaukee team. And so she watched them last night, and I told her that she had to focus on Giannis. And she said, how will I know who he is? I said, you can't miss him. And that was absolutely the case. From the block shots to the thundering dunks to the one moment that blew up social media. I mean, this was some kind of wonderful.
2 minutes to play as Sterling Brown goes to Giannis. He drives downhill, double clutch. Good, to foul on Drummond. What a play by Giannis. He was going up for the dunk. He knew he could not get there. Double clutched it, brought it back down to his hip, drew the foul, and still tossed it in. What a play. Look at that. My goodness.
If you haven't seen it, I invite you to find it. In fact, Chris, if you would put that GIF up on our social media, After Hours CBS, This was a play in which Giannis had to adjust in the air. So he does. He draws the foul on Andre Drummond, as Ted Davis indicates. But then he switches hands. He switches from his right hand to his left hand. And as he's falling down, he's going to end up on his rear. As he's falling down, he scoops it up, kind of it chucks it up there. And it goes just over the rim and down through the cylinder. It was acrobatic. It was certainly a circus shot. And it was amazing. And like I said, it completely captivated social media. So it's kind of fun to watch NBA Twitter in the wake of that. Giannis shot 41 points for him. And it was a career playoff high. Of course, the Bucks haven't had that many playoff games since he has joined the team. But this group of Milwaukee Bucks sweeps the Pistons and gets the franchise's first series win since 2001. Before we get to the post-game reaction from the Bucks and from the Pistons, it's the complete opposite for the Detroit Pistons. So for Detroit, an NBA record 14th playoff loss in a row. So you knew one of these stretches of futility was going to end. In this case, the top seed, the team that's had the best record in the NBA for most of the year, well, they get to advance to the second round for the first time in 18 years.
You know, it means a lot. You know, I've been 6 years in the league, and just to win our first playoff series with this group right here, it's unbelievable. I think we played great basketball. We stuck together the whole series. Even though when we faced adversity and they were up, they were taking leads, it wasn't playing our best. I think we were able to, you know, just keep fighting, keep pushing as a group, and it feels good to win our first playoff series together.
To have the regular season that we've had, to now, you know, take care of the first round and move on to the second. I think it's important that we take a second tonight, enjoy it. You know, for the players, they'll probably take a day tomorrow and enjoy it, and the coaches will kind of move on and start working on Boston tomorrow. But I think organizationally, our fans, our city, everybody, it's a good night for Milwaukee. It's a good night for the Bucks.
It definitely is. So congratulations to Milwaukee. And now they move on to a semifinal, Eastern Conference semifinal series against Boston. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. For the Pistons in Dwayne Casey's first year, as I mentioned, they have not won a playoff game now. 14 consecutive opportunities, and they have ended. And as much as there was fight in this last game, this game four in Detroit, there were leads for the Pistons for a good portion of the first half and then on into the third quarter. But it was a 17-3 run in the third quarter by the Bucks to take control. And there are a lot of disparities. Let's be honest. The Pistons don't have the talent to match the Bucks in a long series or a short series. And so that's not something Dwayne Casey can control. And if you think about it, if you think about the Pistons and where they are, there's certainly a lot of building blocks, but this was a 500 team.
I think our guys took away how hard you have to play to compete at this level. And just like tonight, you know, they got to the line 41 times and ended a good boy at 20 attempts. They had 8 more than our entire team. So that means he was taking in there with force, and I guess we were fouling him. So that's a big discrepancy for me. But again, we learn from that. We take from it how hard you have to play. The intensity you have to play with for 48 minutes.
So Dwayne Casey, his laryngitis makes me hurt just a little bit because I can certainly identify with that. And when he tries to say Antetokounmpo's name, it doesn't come out. It gets stuck somewhere there in the vocal cords. But he's pointing out the fact that Giannis had more free throws. In fact, he made more free throws than the entire Pistons team attempted. So major disparity, but it's about being aggressive. It's about taking charge. It's about going to the hole very often and forcing the contact, not to the point where you're out of control and you're drawing offensive fouls, but to try to force the issue, to take higher percentage shots, to get inside the paint, and to make the Bucks foul you if they're going to try to stop you. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll see what happens with the Pistons and Dwayne Casey in the offseason. I'm a believer in him as a coach, but certainly this team, and they played the series without Blake Griffin for half of it. This team was just outmatched and outgunned. The Utah Jazz may very well be in the same situation with the Houston Rockets. However, they were not going to go down without a fight in Salt Lake. And even as you listen to the highlights, it is incredible the atmosphere there. We know the Utah Jazz have a great home court advantage. So at least we got to see and hear that potential in a game four.
James Harden driving, knocked away by O'Neal and stolen. Alley-oop to Donovan, he dumped it. They did it again. They ran another alley-oop in the fourth quarter. The youthful ignorance of Royce O'Neal and Donovan Mitchell, but it worked this time. James Harden drives, kicks to Tucker, right corner house. Crowder closes, contested three. No, they've missed nine in a row. 97-86, 3:52 left. Rubio inbounds, favors of the basket. He'll take all the eggs and all the bacon. I said all the eggs and all the bacon. 101-88, 2:23 to play. Utah will win it. The Rockets missed their final 12 three-point shots tonight, all in the fourth quarter. 107-91.
David Locke, you can barely hear him inside the arena there in Salt Lake. He's on the Utah Jazz radio network. And so this was one of those games which Houston took a lot of three-pointers because that is their that's their MO, that's their ID. And yet they missed so many of them at the end that they only managed 12 points in the fourth quarter. So with the momentum, with the crowd, with Donovan Mitchell on the side of the Jazz, this was a pretty impressive performance. And honestly, more along the lines of what I thought we would get from the Jazz in this playoff run. I don't know if they're able to force Utah into a game six and to get back to Salt Lake. But I do know that this is the Donovan Mitchell I thought I would see with 31 points, with 7 rebounds, with 4 assists. He had 19 points in that last quarter alone. You had both Ricky Rubio and Derek Favors with double-doubles. You had them limiting what the Rockets bench could do. I mean, this is the team that I thought we would see this postseason.
Backs against the wall plenty of times in the past 2 years we've been together as a team. You know, I think this is familiar ground with us. And I think, you know, everybody responded the way we expected them to. But the biggest thing for us is to take what we did today and multiply it, because I think we could play even better. You know, I think we can do a different things better. They got a few open looks, you know, but I think if we continue to play with the effort and intensity like we play with tonight and game three, anything can happen.
Well, they have to. They have no choice, because if they're going to extend the series, they're going to have to win in Houston. That game five, of course, will be back in the Lone Star State. And so they managed to stave off elimination, but how much longer will the series go? If you missed my conversation with former NBA shooting guard, former Golden State Warrior, Kalena Azubuike, he was with us from the Bay Area in our second hour. And not only did I talk to him about the Warriors, he rated their performance based on their potential on a scale of 1 to 10, but I also talked to him about a potential crash course with the Rockets, which was interesting. He had some good insight into how the Warriors play James Harden versus how other teams defend James Harden. And we talked about some of the other series as well. He gave me his MVP nod, but I'm going to have you listen to the podcast after hours, amylawrence.com. And so it was good stuff with Kalena, and it really did do some dissecting of both the Warriors and the Rockets. All right, coming up, we have yet a third Game 7 in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but we also have an abrupt end for the Nashville Predators. And you're answering our Twizzler Tuesday question, either on Twitter or Facebook, if, I'm hoping it doesn't happen. I don't want to be naive, though. If the Bob Kraft video from inside the massage parlor in Florida ever becomes public, will you watch it? Millions of people will. You know that to be the case. You know the kind of society that we live in. And some people have absolutely no qualms with it. So if that's you, I want to know. And good for the people who've called us up and given us their reasons for why they would or wouldn't watch it. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Chance for Terabyte, and he scores! Tavo Terabyte, cruising through the slot, skaters out with 3:15 on the clock. Out to center, Ovechkin, muscle, taken down by Walmart. Conley can't get by Martinook. Empty net, Hamilton, how about that? Hey, hey, what do you say? Dougie Hamilton, 5-2, Carolina.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Forslund on the Hurricanes Radio Network. We will have a third Game 7, and this one pushes the defending champs to the brink. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We certainly have seen the NBA defending champs in an uncomfortable situation already in this postseason. Here are the Washington Capitals facing a winner-take-all game. Not foreign to them. I mean, this is a Capitals team, the core of whom has been through pretty much everything you can possibly go through over the last several years, from being the king of the regular season, the President's Trophy winner, to being unseated, unceremoniously dispatched way before they were supposed to be, based on their potential. And also a team that last year won 10 road games on their way to their first Stanley Cup title. However, in Carolina, in Raleigh, so far they're 0-3 on the road in this series. They did win there during the regular season, but could not do it in game number 6 to close out what would have been the end of their first round Stanley Cup playoff series. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Inside that arena, it has been crazy this entire series, though there was also a moment that I think many Capitals fans will point to, certainly that Washington coach Todd Reardon and Alex Ovechkin are pointing to in the aftermath. This was a goal that was waved off in the third period. So it was about halfway through that third period, and Yevgeny Kuznetsov looked like he had tucked the puck underneath the pads of the goalie, and then you have Alex Ovechkin kind of comes crashing in and makes contact with the goalie. So after the puck has already crossed the goal line and everybody's celebrating, the Capitals anyway, you have the officials waving it off and saying no way because Ovi interfered by pushing the goalie's pad. So it was ruled goalie interference even after a review. If you can read lips, it was really obvious what Ovechkin was saying from the bench, and he continued to hound the officials during the course of the rest of that third period when Carolina was able to break out with a few more goals. Even after the game, Ovechkin was still pointing to the officials.
No, I'm not surprised. No, it's, I don't want to be a bad guy or something, but it was not fun.
He calls it that he calls it not fun or wasn't fun, says it wasn't fun, and that he's not surprised. And again, there were other choice words that were being offered to the officials during the course of the game. If you can read lips or just use your imagination. The Hurricanes for sure are now playing with house money. Now, can they go into D.C. against the defending Stanley Cup champs and have a performance like that? Because the last time they were in the nation's capital, they got skunked. They were shut out 6-0. So we'll see who comes out hot. It's so important for the Hurricanes especially to come out and throw the first punch and to try to take that crowd out of it. And not to mention, these are the champs, so they're going to be a really difficult out. The out is appropriate for the Nashville Predators. They are out. And this one went into sudden death, and it was all kinds of tension, same as what we got on Sunday night when it was the Golden Knights and the Sharks in Las Vegas, and they go into double overtime. Well, I thought that's where we were headed late in the first overtime period.
And now here comes Sagan with speed. Drop. Radulov. Across. Klingberg shoots. He scores!
That was one heck of a moment, except that it was almost, I don't ever use the term foregone conclusion, but it seemed like it was inevitable for a good stretch there in the sudden death period, because it was, as Pete Weber said on the Nashville Predators radio network, it was a shooting gallery. And there was just such a volume of shots on goal. And Pekka Rinne made a couple of incredible saves But at you know, at some point, it was a deflected goal, actually, that went underneath his pads. And so Josh Bogorad on the Dallas Stars radio network, they were able to close this series out at home, not have to go back to Nashville. And John Klingberg had the game-winning moment.
Exciting for sure. I mean, we had a couple of chances, and I think Creep missed some there, and we obviously wanted him to score the second goal. And Bish was playing really good. We have we had good momentum, and we obviously know we have such good goalies, so he just keeps saving the pucks. And I saw that I could join the rush there, and Rats made a good play.
You know, tonight for me, we could have used one more goal. You know, so I thought we did a lot of good things. The guys competed hard, and at the end of the day, in a 1-1 game, you could use one more goal. You know, there's things that I thought we cleaned up from the previous games, but you'd have to go game by game to break that whole thing down. In the end, you know, they got it done tonight. We didn't.
Peter Laviolette, the Nashville Predators coach. This was actually the first time the Stars have clinched a playoff series at home in over a decade. So it's good for their fans to be able to celebrate. And really impressive, too, with a rookie head coach. They won three straight games in this series. That's tough to do in the NBA or NHL postseason, but certainly the way that we've seen these series go in the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, this is impressive what the Stars did, and to do it in sudden death, oh, the moxie. So Dallas will then take on St. Louis in the second round of the postseason, just like several years ago. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, and Andrew Bogish is in studio. I've been anticipating your arrival. Now, you remember a couple of mornings ago, I mean, there was a weekend in there, but you were stunned. You were shocked and chagrined that I would use the B word.
Yes.
Many times. It just,
I've been talking about it since.
It was vernacular. It was just, it fit what Kevin Durant was saying. I haven't used it since, as a matter of fact. I've cleaned up my act. However, this morning, I'm getting called a creep and other such words.
Really now?
Yes, because I dared. And I want to know if you think this is against my character as well, because you kind of called me out. So this was totally against my character to use the B word.
Okay.
Is it totally against the perceived character that you have of me that I would ask people, if the Bob Kraft video becomes public, will they watch it?
No, that's a fair question.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Because I've been called a freaking creep.
No, you'd be that if you're like, I can't wait to watch it. Like, that'd be creepy. But just to wonder if we're going to watch it, that's a fair question.
I do hope it doesn't become public, because I just don't, for the woman's sake, I just don't think anyone needs to see it. But I also know that porn is a really large industry in this country, and this would even be soft porn. It wouldn't even qualify as porn, really.
No, nobody needs to see this.
So you wouldn't watch it.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, wait, no, you wouldn't, or no, you wouldn't?
Well, my only hesitation is our pseudo-professional obligation, if we're going to talk about it and, you know, have an opinion on it and him and the whole situation. I mean, maybe we're supposed to see it so we can, like, but then again, I probably can survive without it.
You could probably take law enforcement's account of the video if you really wanted to.
Yeah, although I feel like we're very close to this being completely done and we move on. And the NBA is happy that they don't have to really punish him, and then that's it.
Where the NBA is?
I mean, in the NFL. I'm just trying to find the NBA. I'm looking at NBA pronunciations. I apologize.
Which name?
The Suns head coach. Oh. Former head coach.
Yes, he didn't last very long. I'm not sure you need to know his name.
Well, I need to say it, and I can never remember exactly how to say it.
Let's hear your first attempt. It'll be fun.
No.
Oh, come on. Are you going to say it during your update?
I think it's Kokoshkov, but that's not it either. Kokoshkov?
Close enough.
He's fired.
I had to teach
thoughts
my
and prayers.
I didn't teach my mom how to say Antetokounmpo last night.
You don't have to. That's easy. Giannis. But I can't call this guy Igor just yet, especially since he's lost his job. He is not necessarily on first-name basis with America yet.
I would go with Kokoshkov.
Kokoshkov?
That's what I would go with.
Okay.
But I could be completely wrong.
No,
Kokoshkov?
No, it's not that. But I remember when he was hired trying to learn it. And it was not said the way I thought it was said. Mm. The stress was early in his name, not middle or late.
Kokoshkov.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what, folks? He got fired. It's not going to be in the update. He got fired.
Okay, so back to this whole deal about Bob Kraft video. I just want you to know that the guys, I raised the level of money that they would take to watch the video, because they both initially said, this is Chris and Kevin.
Yeah.
They both initially said, no way, ew, disgusting, hold my nose, no.
Right.
That they don't want to see it. And then by the time we get to $500, they're like, in fact, Kevin said he would take a turkey sandwich. If someone gave
Yeah. I mean, you should hold out for more, but if someone's going to buy me like a bacon, egg, and cheese right now, yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, whatever.
That sounds really good.
I said with lettuce and tomato and all that.
Yeah, the works.
And all of that.
It works. Maybe a bag of chips and some soda and you're good.
In radio, if it's free, it's for me.
Basically.
That's how it goes.
I mean, people were eating cupcakes that fell on the floor yesterday, so.
They fell on the floor?
I mean, they were dropped in their container and the container opened a little bit, so there might have been a little contamination, but they were still laid out and eaten.
I convinced one of our coworkers, a much younger coworker, to eat a maple syrup peep that had been sitting on the counter for multiple days.
I know where those came from. How was it?
He said it was crusty. And I was like, yeah, I wonder why it's been sitting out there.
But people like that, don't they? There's a stale peep craze, I feel like. People open up the box, let them get stale, then they eat them. This might have been a little too much, though.
Might have been dusty.
That's true.
All right, so that was fun. So you don't think even worse of me this morning because I'm asking a question. Like
No. The question is fine. If you were if you were going to have like a watch party at your house with hors d'oeuvres, that would be an issue. But just wondering if you're going to watch it, that's a fair question.
I do like hors d'oeuvres. Okay, so you can answer the question because Bogus says it's okay. It's our Twizzler Tuesday question, A-Law Radio or our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
One. No. Oh, strike. And Cesar looks back. He threw someone out. Oh, and Mark Carlson. I think he just ejected Bryce Harper. Harper now comes out of the dugout, and he's coming after Mark Carlson. Gabe Kapler is in Carlson's face, and now Harper coming over. Gabe Kapler pushes him back. Dusty Wathan coming over to get him out of there. Same with Rob Thompson. Kapler is furious right now with Carlson, and it's nose-to-nose with the home plate umpire.
Mindset is I have Bryce Harper's back. Mindset is I don't think that he should have been ejected. The mindset is our dugout did not agree with many of Mark's calls tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
So, in the northeastern quadrant of the country, there are angry Gabe Kaplers and angry Alex Ovechkins at the officials and the way the games were either officiated or reffed in the case of Major League Baseball. Bryce Harper, first game at Citi Field with the Phillies. And he's ejected in the top of the fourth because he's chirping from the dugout. Now, let's keep in mind, scene set here, there was an extremely long rain delay. He probably wasn't super happy about that. And then he had just struck out. So he just was angry at the world and decided to take it out on the official, or on the ump, excuse me. And it was actually the first Philly player ejected in years. So it's been a while. I think it was 2015 is what I read, since a Philadelphia Philly had been ejected. So, hey, Bryce Harper, that's on you. He's, what, 22 games in to his Phillies career? Or should we say 21 and a half because he didn't last the rest of this game? It was a short night for him. Scott Fransky on the Phillies radio network. Well, short relative because of the fact that they had a long rain delay at Citi Field, but they did get that game in. Also a big milestone for Nolan Arenado, who, of course, signed a contract that was in between the Manny Machado and the Bryce Harper. He had his 1,000th hit, and it happened to be on what was a game, a go-ahead home run. So it broke a tie for the Rockies against the Nationals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by GEICO with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So our Twizzler Tuesday question, much to the chagrin of some of you, I would say a handful of you. A few of you are ashamed at the fact that I would ask this question, or you're upset at me for bringing it up, for keeping it going. In fact, one man on our Facebook page said, I'm piling on. Really? I didn't put Bob Kraft in this situation, and it's not my job to protect Bob Kraft's image or reputation. If it turns out that he is innocent, well, then you will hear that on the show. I would fully expect that some type of settlement will be agreed to, will be reached, And I hope the video never comes out. I will not watch it. And I don't want to hear people talking about what's on it. I don't need to see it. I don't. I'm perfectly happy not watching it. And I, unlike Andrew Bogish, who was saying this with a big smile on his face, I don't believe I need to watch it for my profession. But there are a lot of you who don't feel the same, and I appreciate your input. Lance says on Twitter, look, I don't want to see it, but curiosity. And then others of you are saying, if you say no, that you aren't going to watch it, you're lying. I mean, you can believe me or not, but there are going to be millions of people who pay attention to it. Ivan is listening in Maine. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, was this for Ivan? I'm sorry.
This is you, and this is me.
All right. I just wanted to make an aside because you mentioned the Dallas Stars earlier, and I lived in Minnesota back in the day when they were the Minnesota North Stars. It's a while back.
Yeah.
First thing was a caller earlier mentioned that, you know, the whole thing about supposed trafficking, sex trafficking, that's been proven outright. There shouldn't even be a mention of that anymore. There was no sex trafficking involved, so that they should just shut up about that, first off. The second thing is, from the beginning of this whole craft videotape massage parlor thing, Kraft is a smart guy. You know, he's... I'm wondering who set him up to go there, and I'm wondering if it was a setup because, you know, I doubt that he was trolling the streets of, you know, that community looking for a massage parlor. Somebody probably set him up to go there, and it could have been.
I'm going to say, Ivan, I'm pretty confident that this was a word-of-mouth thing, probably a massage parlor that promised discretion and that, you know, that thought it was above the law because there were other very rich men who were caught in the same sting. Now, were they NFL owners? No. But were they very rich, very powerful corporate businessmen? Absolutely. So it stands to reason that there's a real good chance this was a place that had a reputation and that was known as a place where you could go and have discretion. Now, obviously, it didn't work out that way, but he's not the only really rich and powerful guy who got caught up in this sting. The other names many people don't know, but there are some certainly in the business world that are well known. We just don't know them for the most part in the sports world.
Right, but they tend to like to throw Kraft's name out there. But
who's they?
Who's they? You know,
who's they that likes to throw Kraft's name out there?
I have not heard any other of these so-called rich, famous people.
Well, all you have to do is Google it. Would you know their names even if I told you who they were?
Possibly.
I doubt it. I didn't know them. I just was reading about them and know that they were big time in the business world and that there are many people who recognize their names. But in our forum, which is sports, likely, they're not names that if I put out on the radio, anybody would know. And so, yeah, it certainly absolutely makes sense that Kraft's name would be the one that is put out there. The Patriots just won the Super Bowl. He's one of the most powerful owners in the most powerful sports league in the world. And there is a video of him allegedly engaging in a practice that I'm pretty confident he doesn't want the world to see. So in our sports forum, absolutely, it's going to be a name that you hear over and over. But if I sat here and listed the other 24 men, for the most part, they wouldn't be names that people would know. So that's a waste of time.
Yeah, but I still think it was kind of a setup. You know, somebody who's possibly knew it was this thing and just trying to get some big names in there.
For what purpose, though? Because the charges, they're misdemeanors. The law enforcement doesn't need publicity. What does law enforcement gain by having publicity? What's the end game?
Well, they're the ones that mention his name. And like you say,
it's public record. It's public record. Somebody would have found his name anyway. Somebody would have found his name anyway, man. That's what reporters do. They look at public record and arrests and these types of stings. So even if law enforcement hadn't come out and said it, somebody would have found his name.
Well, I still think it's a setup. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm just asking you, what's the end game? What would be the purpose of a setup for Bob Kraft?
Yeah, because the Patriots are the team that everybody loves to hate. Robert Kraft is the owner that everyone loves
to
hate.
Okay, but why would law enforcement care? What does that have to do with law enforcement?
I don't know why. You know, I just think it was a setup. And because he is a big name, you know, that it was notoriety for them, too, you know.
notoriety. Okay. I mean, I don't think they get paid extra based on PR, but okay.
I wouldn't watch the video. I have no interest in it.
All right. Well, you're one Patriots fan who called up. We've heard from other Patriots fans who've said the opposite. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. Ed is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello?
Ed, you've got to turn down your radio and talk to me.
Yeah, I believe he was at the wrong. He shouldn't have been there. Put it that way. He just shouldn't have been there.
Right. Okay, so what about the video? Would you watch it?
I'm curious. I'd like to see it just curiosity. But, you know, if he wasn't there, he would have nothing to complain about. That's why I said it. As far as setup, I don't believe in that setup. Ain't nobody was out to get him.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that either. There's absolutely no end game to it.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Why would they set him up? For what? For what reason?
Maybe they were Jaguars fans or Dolphins fans. There we go, Ed. They were Dolphins fans on this,
that's what
this
it was.
Branch of law enforcement.
Yeah.
And they're jealous of Bob Kraft and the Patriots. We figured it out.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah. Have a good day.
You too. I like that Ed will admit it. We had a member of law enforcement. Shoot, where was he calling from? D.C., right? Who said he's seen a whole lot worse and that he would watch it just to see if the law enforcement description of it is accurate and whether or not it was damning evidence. I don't have any issue. If you will watch it, you'll watch it. But I don't know that it ever comes out. If it's up to Bob Kraft and his attorneys, it doesn't, because they're trying to sequester it or squash it. Because they know it will do irreparable damage to his reputation. Now, do people live things down? Sure. I could throw out a dozen names of high-profile athletes or coaches or broadcasters who have been accused of awful things, who have been either caught on video or caught in some type of law enforcement sting or law enforcement effort. And generally, the public tends to move on. But will it always be one of the things that pops up when you... I didn't mean it like that. Will it always... Oh, gosh, I'm about to get really red in the face. Will it always be one of the things that you see when you Google Bob Kraft? Yes, yes, it will. Okay, good thing the show is about to end. That's positive. Chad says on Twitter, come on, the Kraft video is like a bad car wreck. You hate to see it, but you have to look. I mean, that is what a lot of people are saying. You don't want to see it, but you're not going to be able to turn away. But I do appreciate there are many of you that are saying to me on Facebook, hell to the gnaw, not a snowball's chance in Hades that I would watch this video. Though, if you're like Chris and Kevin, it would only take a friend offering you a few bucks or a turkey sandwich for you to actually look at it. So, I don't know. All right, we're back tonight for Hump Show following Game 7. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.